book of poetry, and it's called the Psalms. And in the Psalms, a king called David wrote these words: "O Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my every thought when far away. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You both proceed and follow me. Your place, your hand of blessing on my head. And such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to know. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength, it will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in the darkest darkness, I cannot hide from you." This is the God that we believe in. This is the God that we serve, a God who knows us intimately, who is with us, and who makes a way for us. Father, we thank you that you are here, that you are truth, that you are peace even in our suffering. Father, we thank you that there is a God, a creator of the heavens and the earth, who wants to know us by name, intimately and closely. Father, we may be really far from you today. Father, we may have massive questions about who this God of the universe might be, or we may feel you close today, but wherever we are on our journey, God, I pray that we would sense your presence. King of heaven, would you speak to us today? King of heaven, would you be near to us today? We thank you with confidence that you are good and that you are eternal and that you, King of heaven, are sovereign. And we commit this moment and all the moments this morning to you in your mighty and eternal name. Amen. I'd love for you to take a seat. Is this working? Yes. If you are here with children, then they're absolutely welcome to stay in the service with us. But if they're getting a little bit fidgety, I just would love for you to know we also have a cry room over here if you want to take them. We also have a kids church running as well. So if your children would love to go and meet some other kids, then they are, of course, welcome to go and do that. About 2018, I was out for dinner with a bunch of girls from the gym. And as often happens when people find out that I am a pastor, the conversation turned to God and how we feel about God and if there is maybe something more to this life that we are living in. And in that moment, I felt absolutely sure that God was calling me to start the Alpha program with this bunch of women from my gym. And so I did. In my house, we called it Waffle Club, and they came every week and had waffles and pancakes and charcuterie, and it was an amazing time of community with these women who wanted to ask some questions about whether maybe there was more to the experience of life than what they were having. And over 4 or 5 years, I've had the absolute privilege of taking a bunch of people through the Alpha course, people who are asking the big questions in life and wanting to know if there is something more to this experience than what they have been having. You know, in the last year, 80,000 Australians have engaged in the Alpha program. And Alpha are projecting that by 2025, 1 million Australians will have engaged in Alpha. It is a phenomenal program, and it gives people the space and the time to be able to ask some big and meaningful and important questions about their life. And so this morning, we are incredibly excited because we have Ryan Valley and also Liza, who I didn't ask your surname, from Alpha Australia, and they are here to share a word with us, a message, and to encourage us in running Alpha, which is going to be fantastic. So why don't you have a look at the screens for a little taster of what Alpha is.
Every day we ask so many questions. What should I wear? What's the weather going to be like? How am I going to fit everything in? But then there are those bigger questions, like why am I here? Where am I heading? Is there more to life than this?
I had arrived at an answer to the most important issue that we humans ever deal with. Is there a God? And I had arrived there without ever really looking at the evidence. And I was supposed to be a scientist.
At 28, I had gotten many of the things that I thought I wanted. You know, my girlfriend was on the cover of magazines, I had a Beamer, and I was so unhappy. It was a realization maybe that I would never find happiness where I was looking for it.
I think for so many years, you know, I always just strive to be strong in myself. All I needed was me and my buddies and, you know, we'd be like invincible. But the truth is, none of us are.
I found purpose, I found meaning, I found hope. God took something so broken and made it a beautiful art piece.
Alpha is a place where you can be yourself. You can say what you think and challenge everything. No question is too complex or too simple. And what your point of view is as important as anyone else's.
We are going on a journey together, an adventure to explore the questions of life, faith, and meaning.
Good morning, church. It's so good to be with you. And what a beautiful welcome it is to be welcomed by Pastor Nathan, Aaron. If I only would have known about the cry room a bit earlier, I would have done that for Noah, because boy, that what a powerful story that has been. It's very exciting that you're going to be running Alpha very soon. I trust it's going to be a powerful experience, and many will come to faith and encounter the love of God during that time. But I thought I'd just start by way of a story. I wonder if anyone here is a fan of the Sound of Music. Any Sound of Music fans out there? Oh, they're out there. They're out there. And a few years ago, I was traveling through Europe with my wife, Beck, and we had made this agreement that we would mutually join whatever the other person wanted to do with just a happy face. We would just go and do whatever that our partner wanted to do. And so I chose a World War II Band of Brothers tour in Normandy. I was like, this is going to be good. And Beck came along, and she was all right. But when we were in Salzburg, Austria, they actually run something called the Sound of Music Tour. So she made her selection. And so I put on my happy face, And she assured me it was going to be a good time. It was a bicycle tour. And she said, don't worry. They'll give you a mountain bike. You can kind of hang out the back. It'll be fine. We arrived, and there was 20 smiling ladies and me. And they did not give me a mountain bike. They gave me, I'm pretty sure it was Maria's bike. It had a basket at the front for your purse. And it also had this little bell. And the bell was like a little warning signal for me. Every time I would hear that bell go off, it was like a song is coming. Look out. Go to the back. Do something. Run. Don't panic. So there we are. We're going down. And I learned a lot about The Sound of Music, which was filmed in Salzburg there. And as we're going through the scenes, we're enacting all as we go. Well, the women are. And I learned these three things about women. Act like you're having a great time, or they're going to help you have a great time. Okay? Secondly, I'm pretty sure people train for this event because these women knew every line of every song every time. And thirdly, if you whisper a few lines of any of the songs, it is like throwing gas on a fire. Seriously, they just light up and the song just, there's like a chorus of angels behind you, just building behind you. And they will sing along with you. And you know what's great when you're a visiting guest speaker? You can experiment and try things. And if it doesn't work, you just go home. So I just thought I would try this morning. If all those fans out there would help me out. If I said do, that's it. Okay. Ray. Far. Okay. So. Okay, good. You guys need to go on the tour. The last church did much better. T. And that will bring us back to. I'm reliving memories now. Today I want to talk about the power of an invitation. If someone were to ask you tomorrow morning, why is the gospel so good? What's so good about Jesus? How would we begin to respond? I was recently asked that question from somebody who's a musician, and they had no experience in the church or didn't know anything about Jesus. And I said something like this. I said, the Christian faith is all about Jesus. And as a musician, it's like God's word is a love song that started long ago. It's a good song. It's transforming the world. And we're all invited to come, to join along with him, Jesus as lead, anytime we choose. We're all invited. And some know the words. Some are just learning the words. And some will soon hear them for the first time. But this is more than a song. This is a true story about God loving the world back to life. Jesus came announcing the reign of a new season, a new time where God would finally set the world right. That every miracle of Jesus is a foretaste of what he's going to do in the future, where the blind see, the lame walk, the hungry are fed, families are restored. It's a foretaste of what God is doing in the world. And it can start even here now today. God is still doing this breakthrough kingdom work today. When anyone says, yes, I want to follow you. And we don't have to have it all put together. We just have to respond to that invitation. Come. Come and see. After the resurrection of Jesus, he said to his followers in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. And it goes on to say, and surely, Jesus promises, surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Make disciples. It's written in this imperative mood in which has this sense is as you go about your everyday lives, in the process of getting on the bus, going shopping, at your workplace, make disciples. Use your influence to point towards that goodness, the good news of what God's doing in this world. And yet often, for many times, it can become like background noise. Or maybe for some of us here, we get nervous because we might not know all the words to join along. We'll just leave it to the extroverts. We'll let them share about the good news. But what if sharing about Jesus was simply an invitation for us to come discover God's goodness in a new way, in a deeper way, to come and see, like a beggar telling another beggar where bread can be found, where life can be found? Do you know the power of an invitation? You know, I want to tell a couple alpha stories. I know of an airline pilot that during the COVID pandemic, he lost his job in Brisbane. Having lost his job, it created more stress in the family. His marriage fell apart. His family fell apart. He suddenly found himself living on the streets unexpectedly. And somebody said, come and see. Somebody said, come have a meal. Come to Alpha. Let's explore Jesus. Let's go deeper. And while on Alpha, he came to faith, and now he's getting his life back together back in Brisbane right now. Let me tell you another story about a girl named Cherie. A woman named Cherie, she's an amazing lady. But you know, she was in jail many years ago. She was, Liza's great friends with her now. But she was in jail. Someone says, come and see. Come to Alpha. Come explore what Jesus might have to say about your life. About a future that's beyond your circumstance. And so she reluctantly comes along. She explores who Jesus is, comes to faith. And now many years later, she's actually taking Alpha into the prison and helping people coming out of the prison system to get their life back together. All because of three simple words, come and see. And a personal story. Liza and I have a friend named Phil and Rod. Phil and Rod were friends for years in a bicycle kind of club, a cycling club. And one day Phil turns to Rod and says, you know, I know nothing of the Christian faith, and you say you're a Christian, but you never talk about it. If it's really that important to you in your life, why wouldn't you want to tell me about it? And Rod was a bit embarrassed and taken back. He said, oh, I didn't know, I didn't want to impose or anything like that. But why don't you come to Alpha with me, since you asked? And today, Phil has come to faith, and he's now one of the best leaders of Alpha at River Life Baptist back in Brisbane. And I could tell you so many stories, one after the next, but it all started with an invitation to say, come and see. And you might be surprised to discover that there are many people in your life that are wanting to explore the deeper questions of faith and life. Do you know that now more than ever, people are exploring these questions? The latest McCrindle research says that 1 in 4 would come and explore if someone would invite them. Lifeline is recording record numbers of calls, people looking for a hope beyond their circumstance. The harvest is there. The people are there. They're wanting to know. They know there must be something more to life. Recently, a church in Sydney called Alpha because they had this emergency. They said, normally we have about 30 participants, but somehow 300 people have signed up and we don't know what to do. Roughly 2/3 of people in Australia don't even know somebody that regularly goes to church. So who are they going to ask? Nikki Gumbel says, we are living in the greatest season of evangelism in our generation. And I think it's right. We've all come to Jesus through a relationship. Romans 10:14 says, how though can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? The good news, church, is that God has sent someone. He sent us, everyday people, to be a witness to this good news that we have to share in our everyday lives. Each one of us is sitting here today because of an invitation. Someone invited us to come explore Jesus further. William Temple once said that the act of bringing someone to Jesus is the greatest service that one person can render one another. Let me encourage you with three things along that way. The first is this: God is already on the go. He's already at work in the lives of people around us. Secondly, the Spirit is the lead evangelist. The pressure's not on us. It's not on a pastor. It's not on a Bible study. It's the Spirit that opens our eyes to the good plans that God has for our life. And thirdly, we each have a role to play in that great story of God, however small it might be. We have a role in that part. I love how Daryl Johnson defines evangelism in this sense. He says, we are entering a conversation the Spirit is already having with somebody. We're entering into it. God's already at work in that moment, in that the relationship that we have. We are inviting people to come and see further, to listen in deeper to God's good plans for their life. There is power in invitation. Jesus says, come follow me. The disciples then invite others, come and see. And this invitation is like a mini proposal that has power to transform destiny, to transform families, to transform generations. Most of the marriages start by way of invitation. You know, relationships, adventures start by invitation. Maybe you have a spouse next to you. They probably looked at you one day and said, invitation. I'm going to invite them to dinner, to lunch, a movie. We all have a part to play to share this good news of Jesus. We all might not be gifted speakers or teachers, but that's okay. We each have a part to play as the body of Christ together. And over again through scriptures, there are three things that really stand out by way of this invitation. That God sends everyday people who have encountered Jesus with the courage to share. If we were picking a dream team for the most important mission in history, we would assumably want the best, the brightest, the greatest, the smartest. And yet look what Jesus does. Listen how he picks his first disciples. These are everyday people. Matthew 4:18 says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Jesus went into this poor backwater area called Galilee. People back then used to make fun of that area because it was not a place that you would want to be known to be from. It was a bad place. It was a place with a broken history. And so right away, Jesus is revealing about your capacities. In fact, if they were had any sort of an intelligence, or you know, they were actually had some place or a future, they would actually have gone to Torah school, study Torah. They would have asked a rabbi, can I follow you? So you see this great reversal happening here. Jesus is going to them, saying, come follow me. And it's powerful because he's saying, I'm choosing everyday people, ordinary people, to share this extraordinary message of good news. How about we catch people instead, he says to them. And these same everyday, ordinary people were the people that became messengers of this good news. Peter gets pulled up in court after the death and resurrection of Jesus in Acts 4. And it says, when the authorities saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They became the greatest messengers, not because of who they were, but what God had done. Jesus still is sending everyday people who have encountered Jesus with the courage to share. You can't really encounter Jesus, though, without recognizing our own need of a Savior for who he is. The gospel only sounds like good news when you realize that we've got problems beyond our own strength, beyond our control. You know, Jesus talks to the religious crowd in Matthew 21. He says, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom ahead of you. And Jesus isn't trying to say, hey, guys, pick up your act. I need you to try harder. He's saying, give up on the idea that you can make it on your own. There are things in life that you cannot control, that are broken beyond repair apart from God. The broken people of this world, he's saying, are quicker to realize their need of a Savior than those that think that they can sort it out on their own. We need to encounter Jesus for who he really is, Lord and Savior. You know who the greatest evangelist in the gospel is? It's this unknown woman at the well found in John 4. She's this broken woman with a long history. It's so wild that God would have picked her as the greatest evangelist. She brings her whole town to come and see Jesus. She's a woman, and in that time, women were not treated very well. And so Jesus is bringing dignity back to this, who she is. You know, in the court of law at that time, whatever she would say, it wasn't admissible in court. Women were not treated well, and Jesus chose her. She's a Samaritan. She's considered an outsider in the community. It's the sixth hour, if you read the story. It's the middle of the day, and she's out by this well. And in this time, they used to go in the morning in groups. So something about this situation points to the fact that she's an outsider. She's alone. She's not in a group. She's had 5 broken marriages when you read the story. Can you imagine the feelings of rejection, of failure, of hopes that were broken in her life? And she's probably financially unstable. And so she's living with a guy. Because in that time, if you weren't connected with a guy, oftentimes you were without shelter, without food. She's in a desperate situation. But she encounters Jesus for who he really is. Good news, says Jesus. I'm offering something more than just this water at the well. I'm offering living water that will quench the thirst that each person has in their life. And she's so excited that she runs back to town and says in John 4:29, come and see. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. He knows everything about me, my warts and all. He knows about my history, and yet he loves me and he's counting me in. Could this be the Messiah, she asks. And the town came out, made their way towards Jesus. And they said in verse 42, they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you've said. Now we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this really is the Savior of the world. The greatest messenger of the gospel, within the gospel, is this unknown woman at a well. All with 3 simple words, come and see. God sends everyday people who have encountered Jesus with the courage to share. Courage isn't the absence of fear, of course. It's a willingness to keep going despite it. After the crucifixion, the disciples are hiding behind locked doors, worried that they're next on the chopping block. And they're hiding, and yet something greater than their fears entered that space. A love that was beyond what was around them, their biggest fears. And those same people, everyday people, went on to transform the world with this message of good news. You think about the story of Stephen. And Stephen's being surrounded by a huge crowd of people who are about to stone him to death because he's talking about a crucified Savior who is now resurrected, the Savior of the world named Jesus. And as the crowd's gathering around him, it would have been very easy to hide, to run, to recant. And yet he looks up to heaven and it says this, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he told everyone, look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. I don't know what surrounds your life right now. I don't know what's going on, but I know in our culture, there is a lot of things that can distract us, that cause fear, whether it's war, whether it's health, whether it's COVID. There's a lot of things right now that can keep our eyes from what God's calling us forward ahead. We cannot afford to let the gospel become the background music to our lives when there are so many people eager for a hope beyond our circumstance of what's happening around us. Let me tell you, but just finish with this story here. Albert McMakin was a 24-year-old farmer who had recently come to faith in Christ. He was so full of enthusiasm that he filled a truck full of people and took them to a meeting to hear about Jesus. Come and see, There was a good-looking farmer's son who he was especially keen to get to this meeting, but this young man was hard to persuade. He was busy falling in and out of love with different girls, and he did not seem to be attracted to Christianity anyway. Well, eventually Albert managed to persuade him by asking him to drive a truck. And when they arrived, Albert's guest decided to go in and was spellbound, began to have thoughts he had never thought about before about his life. He went back again and again until one night he went forward and gave his life to Jesus Christ. And that man, the friend of Albert, the driver of that truck, was Billy Graham. It was 1934. And since then, Billy Graham has led hundreds of thousands to faith in Jesus Christ. And my point is this. We can't all be Billy Graham, nor should we try. You are an original. God has placed you in circumstances and relationships that I can't be in, but you are. The church is, to bear witness at this time. And though we can't be like Billy, nor should we can all be a friend like Albert to say, come and see. And watch how that simple invitation can transform not only Billy's life, but the thousands and thousands and the generations, and even here in Australia, where so many lives were touched by Billy Graham's ministry. Three words, come and see. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this beautiful opportunity in our culture. We don't want crisis in our world. We long for your kingdom where you set everything right. And yet somehow crisis has a way of awakening us to our great needs, of humanity's needs. You came announcing good news of your kingdom, that finally you are stepping into history to transform our destiny. And that's not just a future anticipation. It's something that begins here and now as we say yes to you. And Father, as a church, so many times it is hard to know how do we enter into a conversation to talk about our faith. It's fearful. It can be scary. Give us the courage, God, as everyday people who have encountered you, with courage to share. Lord, I pray for the next Alpha that kicks off in a few weeks here at this church, that we could just think about those four people. If one in four would say yes, our job is to make the invitation. We don't convict people. We can't compel people. Only the Spirit can open our eyes. But we do have a small role to play in inviting people to come and see further. Come and know that God has a great plan for each person's life, that there is hope beyond our circumstance. Father, I pray that you would give us courage to make the invitation. That's what we celebrate today. Father, I pray that you would just be with the team here, Lord, that you keep breathing life. And I believe that this place will become a light in this part of the city. That you, Spirit, would you breathe on the embers, blow again. Bring new life, bring new hope. May your kingdom come here into this place at Infield, on earth as it is in heaven. And that we would see many, many more stories of transformed destinies. Lord, that this would be a season of great harvest, because the harvesters, your church, have been faithful and obedient to say, come and see. And God's people said, amen.